Jacques Wiese exist mal zwei Videos bekannt. Der Kollege unten, sie sagt, der Kind, das ist gekommen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Ready your faithful. Today, the ninth Sunday of the Pentecost, Holy Mother Church presents to us for our meditation the visit of our Lord to Jerusalem and the driving out of the merchants in the temple. Our Lord went over the city of Jerusalem because the capital city of his chosen people had rejected the teachings of countless prophets and ultimately of Messiah himself. If you had known in this your day, even you, the things that are for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes because you have not known the time of your visitation. The historian Flavius Joseph describes the terrible fall of Jerusalem to the Roman army. The end of the perpetual sacrifice of the Old Testament and the fall of the city shows that in no way is past blessing any guarantor of future grace. For this reason, St. Paul tells us in his first letter to the Corinthians, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Today's episode and gospel help us understand better our situation in today's society and also tell us how we are to respond. Holy Mother Church has us consider today the question of our correspondence with Christ. God had showered his chosen people with many benefits. He had surrounded them with many graces, protected them with jealous care, only to lose them all because of their infidelity. The state of Israel, as a result, was an utterly sad and miserable one. St. Paul tells us in today's episode that the horrors that befell the Jewish people are recounted to us for our own correction. Understanding how the jewel of the Middle East was reduced to such a lowly position will help us understand our own position in today's world. The chosen people received everything necessary from God. He led them out of Egypt, provided them with everything for their journey, gave them an earthly homeland, and promised them a Messiah who would lead them to their celestial home when the time was come. However, again and again they rejected him and his promises. They saw the earthly delights of the nations around them and wanted the same things. Little by little they stopped living according to the law and started worshipping other gods. Over the course of time, they developed sinful habits and lived sinful lives. All of this became ingrained in society. By the time the Messiah came to them, their leaders were so blinded by sin that they were unwilling to recognize him. St. Paul points out that the lessons that we must learn from the prophecies of the destruction of Jerusalem, the corrections that we must know to apply to ourselves, are of three types. They are corrections for sins of the heart, especially desiring evil things, or desiring good things in a disordered way. Corrections for sins of action, most especially idolatry, fornication, tempting God by distrusting his power, and also corrections for sins of the heart, particularly murmuring. St. Paul enumerates them so that we too may be aware and vigilant over our souls, over these same categories of sin. After relating all that was to be called the city of Jerusalem in today's gospel, St. Luke recounts that our Lord went over the city, a figure or symbol of the heavenly Jerusalem. This itself is a figure of our Lord's love for us. When we have given ourselves over to sin, our Lord does not weep, or rather does not fail to weep over us, disappointed as he is by our failure to keep his commands. When we make our ourselves corrupt and give ourselves over to living a simple life, we cannot deny that we forget about God and become like the pagans and idolaters described in the Bible. When we live a virtuous life, we are able to read into the consequences of our actions far into the future by the light of grace in our soul. Souls given over to sin shun this foresight because they do not want to be disturbed when in a sinful state. Darkness envelops such souls, which become incapable of seeing anything beyond the immediate satisfaction of their disordered appetites. This is how we wallow, or rather, this is how we allow our own Jerusalem, our own soul, to be besieged by our enemies. It is through our sins that the evil one and his minions surround our souls, dig a trench around it, and by our own fault eventually breach the walls and overrun our souls, leaving no stone unturned. Why do we fall to sin? In his commentary on today's episode to the Corinthians, St. Thomas explains that we fall for six reasons. By the feebleness of our strength, by the burden of our own sins, by foolishly putting ourselves in occasions of sin, by ignorance of what needs to be done, by the encouragement to do evil by the poor, and by the bad example of others' faults. It is for this reason that we are warned by the Apostle to the Gentiles to always be vigilant. A few menial sins may seem small, but they will increase the disorder in our souls. Added up over a short time, this disorder will increase to the point that we have a great fall, which takes us away from God. If we persist in this state without seeking a remedy for it, we will end up growing in vices. This adds to the disorder because we will find ourselves addicted to one or the other passion. Eventually, we bring ourselves an enormous amount of pain, as though our souls are ripped apart in all directions, attached as we are to one bad habit or another. St. Gregory of Nazianzus explains that once we give ourselves to living a simple life, our passions themselves become our enemies, surrounding us and giving us a taste of the hell that will be ours, by tormenting our souls until we are run, trying to satisfy one desire after another. This is when we can find ourselves in a state of despair, despondency, and discouragement. We could feel that our lives have no meaning, or that we are being constantly accused and never left in peace. It is from this pain and torment that we try to escape, yet even our good works do not allow us any rest. If we come to the end of our lives in this state, it would appear to us as though all that we have done in our lives is scattered and overturned, so that there is nothing left. Such souls that have willfully chosen darkness all through their lives find that by rejecting God every day, they receive no further teaching from Him. At the end of our lives, it will be too late, and this hell will become permanent. Whatever God gives us on this earth, whether it is pleasurable or painful, should be seen either as an encouragement or as a correction for which we should be grateful. Nothing that God gives us will leave our soul in error, for it gives us a chance to repent and turn away from our sins. For this reason, St. Paul warns us to be careful about temptations. Today's episode is a call to vigilance and humility. As long as we resist temptations, we will have God's hand. He is always faithful. Already at the time of the first church in the city of Corinth, St. Paul warned that large numbers of Christians were falling. If we allow ourselves, or rather if we ourselves are still standing, our situation is far from certain. We must take heed, for ruin can come easily. abundance to be vigilant against temptations. God gives us power to resist them, grace to bear it well, constancy to conquer them, and perseverance to continue for all our lives. God's gifts are preserved beneath the ashes of humble mistrust of self. At the same time that he exhorts us to be humble, St. Paul also urges us to have confidence, because God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also with temptation issue a way out, that you may be able to bear it. God knows our weaknesses, the struggles we have to undergo, and the temptations that assail us. And for each of them, he gives us the measure of grace we need in order to triumph over it. It is very true that when the storm is raging, we can feel only the impact of the struggle, and the grace that God is giving to help us remains completely hidden. Nevertheless, this grace is there, and we should be certain of it, because God is faithful. Let us take a look at what is happening in our world today. For more than 60 years, we, human beings before God, have not been living according to the teachings of Jesus Christ. By our evil desires, we have committed many sins of the heart. By the pervasive immorality in society, we see that we commit many sins of action. And by the lies that have become commonplace, we commit many sins of the mouth. It is not just true to say that we have forgotten the lessons of our ancestors in the faith through the scriptures. It would be better to say that we have either simply not read them, or if we have read them, we have not learned anything from them. Therefore, being in the dark, we are unable to apply to ourselves the corrections that we should. This growing rejection of God is not something that started outside the church, but unfortunately, it started from within. Today, many of our churches, liturgical abuses take place regularly. Formation in our seminaries is inadequate. Doctrine is often not even taught. All of this was done by men of the church under the influence of worldly ideas. Just like the Sanhedrin and Pharisees led their people astray the first time that the Messiah came on the earth, it was bishops and priests who replaced a supernatural viewpoint for a natural. St. Gregory of Nazianzus pointed out that when our Lord spoke the words of today's gospel, it could be said clearly that the destruction of the people arose chiefly from the guilt of the priests. The priestly service is not in a performance of religion that is something that can be bought and sold, but it is in a free and willing obedience to God. In driving the moneylenders and merchants out of the temple, the Lord was pointing out that there are indeed those in the church who pursue their own interests, or look for a shelter in the church to conceal their own wickedness, rather than confessing their sins and seeking the healing from God's pardon. The Lord cast out the merchants and moneylenders right after speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem, because of their failure to respond to his generous love for them. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered together thy children, as the hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and thou wouldst not. This was the constant attitude of Jesus towards the holy city, but he always remained blind to every light, deaf to every invitation. The Savior, shortly before going to his passion, gave his last sorrowful admonition: "If thou also hadst known that lived, that in this thy day the things that are to thy peace." The casting out of the moneylenders and merchants from the temple shows that our Lord does not withdraw his teaching from the unworthy and the ungrateful. St. Luke reports that our Lord continued to teach in the temple. Those that they cast out represent those men of the church who lower priestly work from a supernatural exchange between God and man to a natural commerce between men. It is precisely this reduction of what is sacred and supernatural to something profane and natural that destroys the church, destroys man, and ultimately, as we see all around us today, destroys the society that we live in. The destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 AD came about only because the chosen people rejected the Messiah and preferred to wallow in their sins. So what should we do? Our duties are twofold. First, from the episode, we must follow the counsel of St. Paul and accept all corrections for sins of the heart, sins of action, and sins of the mind. We must look to our own sanctification. Secondly, we nourish our faith and wait patiently for our Lord Himself to have mercy on us, and in so doing, to clean up the church. By the outpouring of His precious blood, our Lord will bring the church back to her pristine beauty as on Good Friday, when all that was evil was destroyed and the gates of heaven were opened to us. After all, it was by the grace of God given to us through the sacraments that Christendom could be built over 1500 years after the pagan cultures found in Europe. Therefore, let this be the means of our own return to grace. If we have to set right our society, let us set right the place of God in our lives. When He is in the center of our daily lives, when our daily worship is all about Him, then we will truly see the glorification of God and the exaltation of man. O Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. St. Joseph, protector of the Universal Church, pray for us. In the name of the Father,